Let's get ready to talk about St. John the Baptist and what his life and death means to you. Hey there, welcome to another week of the Gary Zimak Show. It's great to be back with you here again on Blog Talk Radio. Today we celebrate the Passion of St. John the Baptist. In other words, we celebrate the day that he was martyred for the faith. We're going to talk about him, we'll look at the Mass readings, and we'll reflect a little bit about on what St. John the Baptist went through and what it means for you and for me. A lot of times we look at martyrs and we don't realize, or we just, for some reason, it just doesn't hit home with us why their lives and their deaths are so important. But there are some really great lessons that we can learn from looking at the martyrs. And I have a little reflection that I would like to read from Pope Francis about living life like John the Baptist. It just hit me when I read this morning. It's in the Magnificat, the magazine that I use for my daily Mass readings. And I thought it was a very, very good reflection. And I think it's one that we need to talk about. Okay, big news is, of course, total consecration. Less than a week away, September the 4th, I may, and I'm not 100% positive about this, but I may use Friday's program to talk about it a little more in depth. But then again, I may not, because I already did a program. So basically, what I'm telling you is useless, right? You know, if you've been with me for any amount of time, you know the way I roll here. I really go with where the Holy Spirit leads me. But I think I might want to talk just a little bit about the total consecration, the process, and how it will work, even though I already spent 30 minutes on a previous program talking about that, which hopefully you've listened to that program by now. But maybe I'll just say a thing or two on Friday. Because what happens is, this year's a little unusual, we start on a Sunday. We start on September the 4th, and I only have a 15-minute program on Sunday. So therefore, I've got to really get to the material at hand, and I don't have a lot of time to explain what's going to be happening. So I might take a little time on Friday. Hey, it wouldn't hurt to listen, right? If not, you're going to get something good on the Gary Zimak Show. That's the way I like to look at it. We go into this with a positive attitude. But I'm excited about this. I'm trying to talk to a few national radio programs to try to get the message out there. I've been trying to get the message out the best I can, and it is getting out there, but I'm trying to do a few more things so that I can get as many people on board as possible. Now, in case you're wondering, total consecration is a way to better live out your baptismal promises, and it's not any binding contract that you sign. You don't really sign your life away, even though you do. You know what I mean? It's not anything you can't get out of, and it doesn't cost you anything. Really, for lack of a better phrase, I would like to say this. What have you got to lose? What have you got to lose by letting the Blessed Mother help you to become a saint? That's really what this boils down to, and there might be some concerns. Is this an approved devotion? Well, I think this is very timely that we're starting, and I didn't even really think about this, that we're starting this on September the 4th. The reason we're doing it is so that we can make our total consecration on October the 7th. October the 7th is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And that's the way we've done it for the past 5 years. So I'm really sticking to the pattern that I've always used. And since it's a 33-day preparation, it means that we will have to start on September the 4th. Well, what's really cool is that September the 4th is the day that Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta becomes Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Isn't that cool? So it's good that we'll be able to do that. We will be able to begin consecration on that day, because total consecration was very important to Blessed Mother Teresa. And in fact, Father Michael Gately, in his book 33 Days to Morning Glory, one of the saints he features, in addition to St. John Paul II and St. Maximilian Kolbe, is none other than Mother Teresa. So it's kind of neat that we'll be able to do that on this very special day. It is an approved church devotion. It is a means of turning your life over to the Blessed Mother with the purpose and the intention of having her lead you closer to Jesus. And I always like to say to anybody that's considering it, first of all, the fact that it's approved is huge. The fact that the church sanctions this devotion. It's not mandatory. I mean, it's just something that is optional. But look, we're all trying to get to be saints. We're all trying to make it to heaven one day. That's the purpose of this life. That's why we're here. You look at your life, and I look at my life, and we realize that we failed numerous times. And I don't believe in dwelling on the past, but if anything, you're going to learn that when you look at your past, you'll learn that you, like I, are weak. We're weak. We have a fallen human nature. We have a tendency to commit sins. If we are trying to do whatever we can to become a saint, to make it to heaven, why wouldn't we take advantage of every devotion and piece of assistance that the church offers? It makes sense. I don't want to get up and be judged and face the Lord Jesus. And Jesus says to me, "Hey, Gary, you know you got problems getting in here. Why didn't you take advantage of my help?" And that's the thing. That's the way I look at this. He's given us the church. Well, he's given us the church, and the church has given us this great opportunity, this assistance to help us to make it to heaven. And the 33-day preparation period, 33-day preparation period allows you to go through the process of preparing. Now remember, until October the 7th, nothing at all changes for you. Nothing changes, because on October the 7th, that's the day when you will have the opportunity to make your total consecration. So theoretically, you can go through the entire 33-day preparation period and decide at the end, it's not right for me, or I'm going to wait. That has been done before. I had somebody who did it, and she just wasn't comfortable about going through with the total consecration the first year. I forget when this happened, several years ago when we did it. But she said, I didn't feel prepared. I want to do it the next year. And she made her total consecration the next year. Nothing's stopping you from doing that. So you could go through the whole process, see what it's all about. You're going to hear scripture every day. You're going to hear some great meditations. You're going to hear about the life of Jesus, the life of the Blessed Mother, and some of the other saints who really believe in this devotion as well. You'll examine your own life. I mean, there are so many benefits to doing this preparation for total consecration that you could go through all of this and then decide at the last minute, I think I'm going to put this off. It's not right for me. Or I'll take it a step further. And you know, I'm sometimes torn by the fact that should I give you this out? Well, I believe in, I don't want to force anybody into anything, and I know the way I am. if I feel too much pressure, I'm not comfortable. I feel somebody's coercing me, and I don't want you to feel that way. You could go through with total consecration. On October 7th, you say, yes, I'm consecrating my life to Jesus through Mary. On October the 10th, or the 11th, or the 9th, or whatever, you could say, I regret this. This wasn't good for me. Lord, I take it back. You could do that, and that's all you need to do, and it's undone. And there is no sin involved. You're back to the way things were. And at any time, you could say, Lord, I take back my total consecration. But I've never known anybody who has done that. I've known people who have put it off, but I don't know anybody who has taken it back. Because you're going to start to see things happen. Overnight, no, generally not overnight. You're not going to feel all magical on October the 8th, and all of your problems will seem to disappear. It doesn't work that way. It takes a while. But if you give it time, you will gradually see yourself being more interested in reading the Bible. You will find yourself more interested in receiving the sacraments. You will find yourself trying to become a better person, or having this desire to clean up some of your bad habits. These are the ways that Mary brings you closer to Jesus. And often what happens is, you don't really need to know all the details, and that's the thing about Our Lady. She works behind the scenes. So you don't need to know necessarily the mechanics of how this works, just as you don't need to know how a watch works in order to tell time. Same with your computer or your car. You could still use these things without knowing exactly how they work. It's the same way with Our Lady. She will be working behind the scenes. And a lot of the times, remember, she is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. So she gets the Holy Spirit as well. A lot of times, she will be leading you to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be working in you to help you to grow closer to Jesus as well. So you've got A lot of stuff going on when you make this total consecration. I would highly recommend you do it. That's why I've led it on my show for the past 5 years now, and I've led probably close to 4,000 people through this. I don't really keep track of the numbers. I just know how many we started with in years past, and I just total the numbers up. And I've gotten a lot of good feedback, and I want to invite you to visit followingthetruth.com and take a look at my blog and see some of the comments from listeners, people who have gone through total consecration with me. I also want to remind you or let you know that I sent out a newsletter today talking about total consecration and a few other things. I noticed that on my looking at my email list, there are a lot of people who signed up but never responded to the email that gets sent in return. So if you don't get the newsletter, that may be the case with you. And I people contact me about this. I just have no control over this, and there's not a lot I can do about it. Because what happens is when you sign up for my newsletter, you get a confirmation email. And that's the way Vertical Response works. There are certain email protocols, and they want to make sure that you're a real person. And that's Vertical Response is the email provider that I use. And what happens is you get an email back once you sign up. They want to make sure people aren't subscribing their friends in an unsolicited manner, right? That's only fair. Nobody wants you. You don't want to be signing up your friends for my newsletter if they don't want to get it. So you'll get an email back when you sign up. And then in that email, it'll say it comes from Gary Zimek, and you have to open it up and click on a link in there to complete your subscription. And then that makes you a mailable email address on the list. Until you do that, you're going to be flagged as being not valid or not active. And it's a problem that comes up a lot. Sometimes these emails from Vertical Response get sent to your spam folders and you miss them. So I just want to say, if you didn't get the email, there's a chance that that happened to you. Make sure you check your spam folder. And you can always let me know if you still have troubles. But again, it's not the easiest thing in the world for me to fix, but I'll try to do what I can, because I really do want you to get these emails. Essentially, the email that I sent today is a more or less a copy of what appears on my blog on followingthetruth.com announcing total consecration on September the 4th, letting you know how it works, letting you know that there's no book to purchase, there's no cost. And also, I want to tell you that if you miss a program or two or three or five, I'm going to let you be the judge of how many you miss. You can still keep going, and I want you to keep going. What you don't want to do is let the evil one get in your head, because this is what happens. I'm not saying it's always him, but a lot of times it is him. And when you miss a day, he's going to make you think, well, why bother? You already stopped this. Or you're going to have these thoughts. And again, I don't like to attribute everything to the devil, but let's face it, he's real, and he doesn't want you to go through with this. Why? Because it's going to bring you closer to Jesus. So you're going to start, you might have thoughts, well, I'm not good enough, I'm not going to be able to fulfill my obligations. Just give it your best shot. Give it your best shot and go in with the right intent. Nobody makes a perfect preparation for total consecration. You're going to hear more about this as we go forward, but do your best and trust that Our Lady will help you, and that you are doing it with the best of intentions. And the idea is, for St. Louis de Montfort, that we renew our total consecration each year. And that's what I'm doing. This is the sixth year that I'm renewing mine, going through the whole 33-day process again. All right. So I ended up talking more about this today than I expected to, but I thought it would be a good time, because I know we have a lot of new listeners coming on board for this. So if you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. But the key is, look for the podcast on Sunday, September the 4th, and it should be there. Sometimes it's been a little funky with iTunes. I'm not sure how TuneIn Radio necessarily works. I think they're ending up in those places on the same day as they appear on Blog Talk Radio. But in the past, that was not the case. There still might be a little bit of a lag. Let's try to do our best to just get through this, and because there's factors outside of my control. All I can control is recording the show and upload it to Blog Talk Radio, and then everything else happens really outside of my control. I'm going to do the best I can. If you listen to the show a day late, it's not going to kill you. we're still going to get the maximum benefit that we can out of total consecration. But if you have questions, shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, let's say our prayers, and then we'll take a look at the readings for the Passion of St. John the Baptist. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us another day. We're very grateful for the many blessings that you give to us each and every day. Thank you for allowing us to be born. Thank you for letting us be alive. Thank you for being so available for us and for loving us and exhibiting such mercy toward us. Father, we ask you to bless us and bless those around us. Please help anyone who is sick, anyone who is anxious, anyone who is lonely, anyone who is struggling with doubt or despair, anyone who is dealing with addiction, anyone dealing with financial difficulties, anyone who may be experiencing religious persecution or extreme weather conditions. We especially lift up our brothers and sisters in Italy who have had these very serious earthquakes, and also those in Louisiana who have experienced tremendous flooding recently. We lift them all up, and we ask you, Father, to help them and to grant them your peace. We ask you to accept our own intentions, whatever they may be. I give you this program, Father, and I ask you to speak through me and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. Father, I also ask you to bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations, and please put an end to abortion. And please bless all of us and strengthen us, all of us who are about to participate in the total consecration to Jesus through Mary preparation. Help us to remain strong and to continue going forward and to grow closer to you through your Son, Jesus. And we ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her help as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint John the Baptist, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you for tuning in. I'm Gary Zimak. Glad to be here with you on the program. We hang out every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. The show also airs on TuneIn Radio and on iTunes. Beginning on Sunday, though, we're going to go 7 days a week for the next 33 days to get you through preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Now, I talked a little bit more than I would like, so let me get right to the readings for the solemnity, or I'm sorry, the memorial of St. John the Baptist. First reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. The word of the Lord came to me thus, "Gird your loins, stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account, as though I would have leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass, against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, against its priests and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Now, here's the message, and we really have to, we have to accept this when we look at the life of John the Baptist. It's very clear. The message is, when we proclaim the truth, and of course Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church, we are dealing with the truth there, we're going to make some enemies. We're going to ruffle some feathers, and we are going to possibly expose ourselves to some sort of a persecution. Maybe not what John faced, but we're going to deal with something, because sooner or later we're going to tell somebody something that they don't want to hear. Now, you've heard me say this before. There comes a time when we do need to hold back. And that's what the virtue of prudence is all about. Sometimes it's a good idea to hold back till a better time, till a better moment. Maybe go a little slow because the person is not ready. But this is where you depend on the Holy Spirit. That's different from being afraid to speak out, is to speak the truth, because you don't want to get criticized or experience some sort of persecution. There comes a time, as did St. John the Baptist, where you absolutely have to speak the truth. And it will cost you something. It could very well cost you something. And that's okay. But just get used to asking the Holy Spirit to help you. And you also could fall back on the Holy Spirit's gift of fortitude, to have the guts to be able to say something even when it's scary. And this is really what this first reading is about. The word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah and says, stand up and tell them all that I command you. Well, we've got this great body of teaching in our Catholic Church. Are you ready to stand up and tell people about the church, about Jesus Christ? But you got to do it out of love. This is not about winning arguments. It's about bringing the love of Christ to souls. And he allows us to do this. That's what St. John the Baptist was doing. He called attention to Jesus. You and I are asked to do the same thing. Psalm 71 is our responsorial psalm. I will sing your salvation. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me and deliver me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. For you are my rock and my fortress. O my God, rescue me from the hand of the wicked. For you are my hope, O Lord, my trust, O God, from my youth. On you I depend from birth, from my mother's womb you are my strength. My mouth shall declare your justice, day by day your salvation. O God, you have taught me from my youth. Until the present I proclaim your wondrous deeds. The Lord is very good to us. And the more you get to know him, the more you realize just how much he loves you, and the more you want to share him with others. That's really a natural process that happens. People need to hear about Christ. People are in bad shape. People really need to hear that Jesus loves them. And that's essentially what we're called to do as Catholics. We're called to evangelize. Pray for the grace to be able to do that, even when it causes you to leave your comfort zone. That's challenging. And sometimes it's the silliest loss of comfort. Sometimes just fear of looking stupid that prevents us from sharing the good news with somebody. That's a shame, because people need to hear that good news. So pray for that grace. Let's look at the gospel. This is a nasty story, but it gives you an idea of just how far some people will go to try to suppress the truth. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning in verse 17. Herod was the one who had John the Baptist arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have her, to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. She had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. Herodias' own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made a request. I want you to give me at once on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he didn't wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Now, this is a powerful story. It's pretty nasty, isn't it? But what this tells us, and I'm just, I mean, I think the message is clear, but let me just sum it up. Herod was a coward. He was a coward, and he was afraid to take a stand. And Herodias, his wife, had a grudge against John the Baptist because he said something that she didn't want to hear. Rather than look at the story and say, oh yeah, these people are really horrible, here's the way I like to view it. Look at yourself. How do you react when somebody tells you something you don't want to hear, especially when it involves sin? I know there have been occasions where my wife Eileen has had to tell me, Gary, you're wrong. I don't like it. It takes me a while to really process it, especially when I don't think I'm wrong. But, you know, deep down inside, a lot of times we do know we're wrong when we're doing things that aren't right. But we may not, excuse me, we may not want to admit it. Try to always be open. Try to always be open to the truth, even when it may be something that you don't want to hear. Okay, it's very important. And also, the other message here is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to speak the truth, because people need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to just have a couple minutes. Let me read something by Pope Francis. Living life like John the Baptist. Something deep within us invites us to rejoice and tells us not to settle for placebos, which simply keep us comfortable. At the same time, though, we all know the struggles of everyday life. So much seems to stand in the way of this invitation to rejoice. Our daily routine can often lead us to a kind of glum apathy, which gradually becomes a habit with a fatal consequence. Our hearts grow numb. We don't want apathy to guide our lives, or do we? We don't want the force of habit to rule our life, or do we? So we ought to ask ourselves, what can we do to keep our heart from growing numb, becoming anesthetized? How do we make the joy of the gospel increase and take deeper root in our lives? Jesus gives us the answer. He said to his disciples then, and he says it to us now, go forth, proclaim. The joy of the gospel is something to be experienced, something to be known and lived only through giving it away, through giving ourselves away. The spirit of the world tells us to be like everyone else or settle for what comes easy. Jesus said, go out and tell the good news to everyone. Go out in my name, embrace life as it is and not as you think it should be. Go out to the highways and byways. Go out and tell the good news fearlessly, without prejudice, without superiority, without condescension. To all those who have lost the joy of living, go out to proclaim the merciful embrace of the Father. Go out to those who are burdened by pain and failure, who feel that their lives are empty, and proclaim the folly of a loving Father who wants to anoint them with oil, with the oil of hope, the oil of salvation. Go out to proclaim the good news that error, deceitful illusions, and falsehoods do not have the last word in a person's life. Go out with the ointment which soothes wounds and heals hearts. Sometimes when you spread the good news, you're going to be rejected. You're going to be humiliated. You're going to be even attacked in one way or another. Pray for the grace to be able to do it anyway. And again, that doesn't mean you have to be hitting people over the head with your Bible. There comes a time when you want to go slow. You can't know when you should hold back or push forward. But the Holy Spirit knows. And if you feel that maybe now isn't the right time, then you should hold back. But if you pray and say, Holy Spirit, what should I do? And you get that feeling, well, I should say this. I'm going to say this. Go and do it. The key is when you get in these situations where you encounter somebody and you need to evangelize, be praying while you're doing it. Okay, Holy Spirit, guide me. And you can just say this in your head. You don't have to pray it out loud. Holy Spirit, let me know what I should do. Holy Spirit, and you can pray for the opening too. Holy Spirit, please open a door for me today. Let me share the good news of Jesus Christ with somebody today. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be a coworker. It could be somebody in the store. It could be anybody. But just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to share Jesus Christ with somebody because you might get rejected or you might experience opposition. and pray to St. John the Baptist. Pray that St. John the Baptist will intercede for you and help you with that. All right? I got to run. God willing, I'll see you tomorrow night. Hope you can show up. Until then, may God bless you, and thanks for listening.